If someone just asked for the master key to your house, you wouldn't just hand it over, right? Like, even if they smiled and promised to water the
Right.
plants.
Yeah, you definitely hesitate.
Exactly. I mean, you'd immediately start calculating the absolute worst-case scenario before giving up that kind of access.
Well, sure, because it's a basic protective instinct. We naturally guard our own personal domain.
We do. But then we step into the realm of human systems and institutions, and suddenly we're just tossing over the master keys without a second thought.
Yeah, it is a fascinating paradox.
It really is. Anyway, welcome to this custom deep dive into week five, day two of your Laws of Life workbook. Today, our mission is to prep you for your daily exercise on Law 5.
And Law 5 is a pretty heavy concept, right? It
Yeah.
asserts that power granted to the state will eventually be abused or, well, used incompetently.
Which is a bold statement.
It is. And
Yeah.
just to set the stage here, looking at Law 5, we are dealing with some highly politically charged ideas about government power. So we want to be very clear. Our job today isn't to take a left-wing or right-wing stance, or really to endorse the author's viewpoints at all. We are simply impartially reporting and reverse engineering the logic in the source material.
Yeah, exactly. We're just here to help you apply it to your workbook module. We're just your guides through the psychology of it all.
Right.
So, here is your task for day two. You need to read the chapter distill list for Law 5 three times. Just let the concepts really marinate.
Three times is key for that neural processing.
Definitely. Then, on your fourth pass, you're going to select the three bullet points that personally resonate the most with you.
And to help you frame how you might evaluate these, we thought we'd actually share a few that stood out to us by looking at the underlying mechanisms they describe.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start because the first bullet that caught my eye perfectly captures this classic cognitive trap.
Oh, which one?
It's the one that says good intentions do not eliminate the risks of power.
Ah, yes, that's a big one.
Right. Because as humans, we constantly equate good motives with safe outcomes. But it's like giving your car keys to a toddler because they mean well, like they just want to drive you to the store.
Yeah, but that sweet intention doesn't change the physics of the inevitable crash.
Exactly. The intent doesn't matter when they hit the gas.
That is a really great way to look at it because the mechanism of power is it's completely divorced from the empathy or the intent of the person holding it.
Right.
And that actually bleeds right into one of the points I selected, the one that says a small mistake with small power causes small harm, but a mistake with great power can destroy lives.
The blast radius is just so much bigger.
Precisely. But what's fascinating from a systems perspective is why that blast radius is so destructive.
Well, why is it?
It's because massive centralized power basically severs the feedback loop. You know, when a local manager makes a bad call, they see the fallout immediately and can correct it.
Right, they get that instant feedback.
Exactly. But when someone with huge centralized authority makes a mistake, they're often totally insulated from the people suffering the consequences. The harm just compounds before the system even registers an error.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Which actually brings up another point from the distill that really stuck with me.
Go for it.
The idea that critical thinking has to come before granting authority, not after it's abused.
Right, which sounds obvious.
It does, but honestly, I have to push back on our own psychology here. I mean, we buy insurance to prevent disasters with our homes. We wear seatbelts to prevent injuries.
Yeah, very proactive behaviors.
Right. So why are we so proactive in those specific areas, but completely reactive when handing over authority to leaders? Why wait for the abuse?
Well, it comes down to how the brain processes threats. Buying insurance is a known, quantifiable transaction against a highly specific threat.
Like a fire or a car crash.
Exactly. But abstract institutional power, that is much harder for the brain to process. We are biologically wired to conserve energy until a tangible threat presents itself.
So we wait for an overt abuse of power.
Right. We basically wait for the pain to react.
But by the time you actually feel the pain of a systemic abuse of power, it's too late. The
Yeah.
authority is already there.
Exactly. And that is why I chose this other point from the distill, the one that says temporary powers have a habit of becoming permanent.
Oh, yeah, the inertia of systems.
Yes. Because once an institution is granted authority, even for a temporary emergency, it builds infrastructure to support that authority. It becomes the brain's new path of least resistance.
Like hiring a whole new department or building a new facility.
Right. Think of it like a temporary toll booth built to pay for a specific bridge repair.
Yeah, I'm following.
Once the bridge is paid off, the toll doesn't disappear, because now you have an entire bureaucratic department relying on that toll revenue to pay their own salaries.
Right. They will never voluntarily lay themselves off.
Exactly. The system's prime directive just becomes self-preservation.
That makes the act of granting that initial power incredibly sobering.
It really does.
So, knowing all this, what does it mean for you as you sit down with your workbook today? Well, your goal is to select your own 3 points from the distill list.
Just three?
Yep, pick your three, write them into your daily practice list for the week's work, and you will review these morning, midday, and evening.
And as you reflect on your choices today, consider a final thought from the author's notes.
Ooh, I like this part.
Yeah, so if it is true that all power corrupts, we usually think of that strictly in terms of government, but how much unchecked authority have you voluntarily granted to non-state entities in your own life?
Oh, wow. Like an employer, maybe a community leader, or even an online influencer.
Exactly. Where have you surrendered your own autonomy to someone else without ever questioning the feedback loop?
Something to really think about. So before you hand over your master key, make sure you know exactly what doors it opens. Good luck with day 2, and we'll see you next time.